sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall, on the last Sunday after Epiphany, the Sunday of the Transfiguration, March 2nd, 2025, entitled Finding Balance. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web, or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher.
And all were astounded at the greatness of God. What makes today unique, among other things, is that it's the last time we'll read on Sunday from biblical text that points to Epiphany this year. Today draws the Christmas cycle of the church years to a close. Since early in December, we've been focusing in prayer, study, and worship on the revelation of God to the world. Jesus is God's light shining in the world. Manifestation, showing forth, Epiphany. And while the witness of John the prophet was significant, the baby in a Bethlehem manger, important, the star in the east pointing to the newborn king, Jesus' baptism, his turning water into wine, his miracles and healings and teachings, all of those are part of this season, showing us in tangible ways the Christ of God. But perhaps today is the most profound epiphany of all. Jesus is transfigured before them. And the where and the why are somewhat important. The transfiguration happened on the mountain, Luke says. The purpose of the trip was to pray. Perhaps handpicked to accompany him with Jesus were Peter, James, and John. There's evidence elsewhere to suggest these three were considered senior among the apostles and the disciples. This group was about to have a mountaintop experience. This is maybe the most epiphany-like narrative of this entire season. The glory of Jesus revealed, shone forth. His clothing, Luke says, became dazzling white. The appearance of his face changed. Now, the theology behind this entire Christmas cycle, Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, is the incarnation. This is the Christian doctrine of how the invisible Spirit God became fused with humanity in Jesus. Jesus was perfect because one balanced the other. Jesus was in every respect entirely human, but also fully divine. Many scholars argue the impossibility of such a tale being invented by human beings. Such a reality, according to the witness of Scripture, is so beyond us, it could only be revealed to us by the one who is other. And so most who claim this faith consider it to be revealed religion. The notion of incarnation, it's unlikely, was the product just of human thinking. Being at the core of Christian faith, the dual nature of Jesus has been symbolically expressed throughout the centuries as Christians worshiped their Lord. You might be most familiar with the presence of two candles on the holy table or the altar. They burn only during celebrations of Eucharist, when we expect that God will be present through his Son, Jesus Christ. The symbolism is multifaceted, though. First, those candles shine. They shine because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And you may also notice that there are usually two of them. Some would say they reflect the human and the divine nature of Jesus. Did you know that the right side of Anglican churches is often referred to as the epistle side? Traditionally, at the Eucharist, the reading from the letters, the epistles, is done from the right side of the altar or the right side of the church. And that's because the epistles primarily show us how, down to earth and practically, to live the Christian way. The gospel is often read on the left side of the church. And it points us upward to heaven, as does the gospel. And so those are tangible ways of remembering the heavenly and the earthly, and the union of those two dimensions, those two realms of reality. You may or may not notice that the drink we prepare and consecrate as the blood of Christ is actually a mingling. It's a mixture of wine, a symbol of the heavenly, and water, symbolizing the physical and earthly. So there's a union being represented. The customary prayer said by the priest at the time of preparation is one first of blessing. "Bless, O Lord, this water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for use in this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving." And then it goes on. "By the mystery of this water and this wine, may we share in Christ's divinity as he has shared in our humanity. Let us share in Christ's divinity as he has shared in our humanity. Light and dark. Two candles, not one. Epistle and gospel. Up to heaven and down to earth. The spiritual and the practical. Wine and water. Spirit and flesh, divinity and humanity. Incarnation. It's worth noting that we hear about the Transfiguration in all of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. And there's an incident as they return down the mountain, and it's related in all of those Gospels. And I'm not sure why, but it's only when we read the Lucan version that it's suggested that that incident is included on Transfiguration Sunday, even though it does indicate, even today, that it's optional. Well, I'm not so sure that it is that optional. When we do read them together, I think one helps to interpret the other. On the next day, when they had come down the mountain, a great crowd met him, Luke says. From the crowd, a father shouts and begs Jesus to look at his only son who is overtaken by seizures, shrieking, convulsing, and foaming at the mouth. A spirit had seized him, Luke says. At the bottom of the mountain, Jesus and the disciples had returned to the daily grind. It was business as usual, but it was also a return to the wash of problems we all face as part of everyday human life. If you're like me, there are days when looking back seems that the whole day was consumed with just solving one problem or another. And I don't know, maybe that's what life is about, solving problems, whether it's how to get the milk out of the container and into your coffee, or something more complicated. The everyday, where boredom, routine, and earthiness might tempt us to slack off because it doesn't really matter that much anyway. Mountaintop experiences are few and far between, it seems. But maybe the challenge is more about perspective. What can make all the difference is instead to try to identify, when you look back at that day, where you have encountered God and when we recognize him being there even when we didn't see him. Jesus, Peter, James, and John were coming down from the mountain, but in no time it was life as usual. It was like the contrast between wine and water, heavenly and earthly, light and darkness. Living as a Christian has to do with getting the balance right. To not be one of those people, Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, are so heavenly minded they are no earthly good. And you know, we think heresy is only a study in church history. When we say the Great Litany next Sunday, we'll pray for God to deliver us from all false doctrine, heresy, and schism. A heresy is a contradiction to accepted church teaching. There are countless examples, especially in the early church, and those include Gnosticism, the teaching that salvation can be achieved through knowledge, Arianism. All of these are, or many of them are named by the people who came up with them. Arianism is that Jesus was not fully divine. Pelagianism, which teaches that we can do it ourselves. Grace is helpful, but it's not absolutely necessary. And we could list dozens of those. But did you know that heresy didn't stop in the fourth century? Heresy is alive and well to this day. I've even been called a heretic before. And I bet there are heretical thoughts lurking around in you too. And I try to preach about them as much as I can. I just don't find that using the word is always as helpful as it might be. A couple of weeks ago, you might remember that I talked about how many in the church these days believe that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as it works for you. And I think that's an example of heresy at its best. In the early 20th century, in the midst of growing political polarization, which now it would seem has exceeded what none of us could have ever imagined, there was a battle between two modern heresies. Avoiding heresy, of course, usually amounts to being able to stay between the extremities. The one was the belief that the faithful should retreat from society and focus on individual spirituality and ignore the troubles of the world. And that movement often used the Transfiguration as one of its biblical models. When Jesus took the disciples up the mountain to pray. The other came to be known as the social gospel. Faith was to be lived out in action. Sometimes even to the point of neglecting personal spiritual needs. And they were two extremes. The truth probably somewhere in the middle. And that may be why Luke and the others tell these two stories together. There are both individual and communal characteristics of true discipleship. Some of it we do on our own, but a lot of it we do together. And finding the balance between them may be one of the greatest challenges.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. send us a message by email at office@christchurchcathedral.com. Or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon, at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.